We call upon the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for grace and mercy for us, Lord, for this church, for our nation. And you have enough grace and mercy for the whole world, Lord. And we pray that your grace and mercy would do a great work. Father, I submit myself to you, submit my voice to you, submit my thoughts to you, my plans, my notes, all of it. Lord, I submit it to you. I pray, God, tonight that your word will stir our hearts here in the middle of winter. I pray, oh God, that your word would be in me like a fire in my bones. And it'll set ablaze, Father, many of our hearts. I pray you would encourage your people. Encourage me, Lord. I preach to myself tonight as much as I speak to this group of people. Lord Jesus, what an honor. What an honor to feed your sheep. And I pray that you would be pleased at the end of this. And I pray all these things in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I don't know, Pastor Mark got up here. I don't remember if it was a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And he got up here and he said that he had a little bit of a cough. And so he asked us to please excuse him, and he coughed. He took the mic down and he coughed one time. And that was it. He never coughed the rest of the message. I pray tonight my faith will be as great. If it's not, it'll be a demonstration that how great our pastor's faith is. So I'm going to do my best not to cough tonight. You know, we've just come through the Christmas season, and millions upon millions upon millions of young children have lived under the day and night trauma of the fact that Santa has a list. And he's checking it twice. And he's going to find out who's what? Naughty and nice. Children live under this constantly, but particularly toward the end of the year, they know it's critical that they get things right. Or else they'll be on the naughty list and they won't get anything for Christmas. Whoever invented that story? Probably just some desperate parent trying to keep their kids in line. I don't know. But you know, I think, I don't know about you, but I think people hear the negative in a stronger way than they hear the positive. If, for instance, tonight I was going to preach the message of the five foolish and the five wise virgins and the bridegroom coming by surprise. Well, you know, people get kind of quiet during that. They think, well, that's a heavy scripture. Why? Why is it a heavy scripture? It was equal. Five wise, five foolish. But we kind of, whoa, that one part scares us, doesn't it? And people get kind of quiet. Tonight I pray that you will not overhear the negative I speak tonight, but that you'll hear the good part. Because when I think of the message of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, certainly as an evangelist, I preach that the foolish ones need to get serious and get right with God. But there's a wonderful message in there. Five wise virgins get to go in and be with the bridegroom forever. But we don't necessarily hear that part as strongly as we hear the scary part. You know what I'm saying? And tonight, and I'm not preaching on that, by the way, in case you were scared. Anyway. But tonight I pray that God would encourage your heart with a message. Tonight I want to preach a simple message called The Rewards of Faithfully Serving God. The Rewards of Faithfully Serving God. I'm going to begin 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 5. This then is how we ought to regard us, as you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. I'm going to go ahead and just stop, and I'll pick that back up in a minute. Paul was saying here that he had been entrusted with something. He'd been given something precious and important. And I love the word here in the NIV, entrusted. He'd been entrusted with the mysteries of God. Do you know you've been entrusted with the same thing? How many of you have been saved? You've been forgiven. Wow, that's the mystery. As my brother Josh said, dear worship Sunday morning, the rest of the world and all the other world religions literally are trying to claw their way up to some God. And our God has given us forgiveness and mercy and grace. That's a mystery. And we've been given that mystery. It's been entrusted to us. It's a precious thing. But Paul said that if we have a trust, that we must prove faithful. Everyone say faithful. That's the key word tonight, faithful. And the Apostle Paul, thinking of how he would be judged at the end of his life, said, I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Another version, Paul is saying, I do not trust my own judgment. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, it's not that I don't try to make sure I'm doing all right. It's that I don't really trust my perspective, because there's only one perspective that matters, right? And that's what Paul says. My conscience is clear, verse 4. My conscience is clear, but that does not mean I'm innocent, or that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, when you hear a passage like this, there are some definite things that some people might consider heavy. He's talking about God will judge each of us. God will judge each of us. Now, if you're like me, you hear that. It's all going to get judged. The chapter before, 1 Corinthians 3, he's just talked about there are going to be people who make it to heaven, but all their works burn up. All their works, they get to heaven with nothing. No good works. So there's definitely another side to that. But can I just say this? Unless you're just pulling some kind of Academy Award performance and your faith isn't real, and we all think it is, but you're just a fake, which I don't believe that of any of you, then you know, he's not talking to you about that part. There's a positive here at the end of this. He says God's going to look at each of our motives, but he says this, at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Each will receive their praise from God. Now, that's just too wonderful to imagine. Can you imagine God, not a head angel, God praising you? Can you imagine God having nice things to say about you someday? Well, that's what Paul said here. Someday God is going to judge us, but not just judge us, but that he will give us each praise. And all that matters. And we've been entrusted with some things. You know, we hear a lot about money. Money is probably the biggest thing we hear that's been entrusted to us, and we need to spend it the way God wants us to. But we've been entrusted with more than that. Do you know, I think about this a lot. You've been entrusted with a family. Did you know that? If you have children, wow, you've been entrusted with children. But I think of something more, what Paul talked about here, the message, the mystery of the gospel. We've been entrusted with that. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? So let's talk about, now we know that God rewards people, we know that God rewards people for doing the big things. You know, I don't think it's very shocking in Revelation chapter 7 that we find out that those who were martyred, those who were murdered during the tribulation, Revelation 7 says that they are going to be right up next to the throne of God. They went through such terrible times but stood strong for Him. They will be right by the throne, it says in Revelation 7. We don't find that shocking. We know, yeah, they deserve to be up there by the throne of God. But you know what? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12 that everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you live for Jesus, you will be persecuted. Now, when we hear the word persecuted, we think of maybe back in the times when, back in, you know, the Soviet Union, when people were having a prayer meeting and the guards kicked the door in and hauled them off to prison. But, you know, persecution is can be more subtle than that. But if you go through persecution, even just family members who kind of think you're a weirdo, raise your hand if that's you. No, don't do it. How many of you got family members who think they're kind of weird? They take this thing. I mean, you know, I got family members like, Ken just takes this thing way too serious. Jesus said, if you are persecuted in any degree, this is what He instructed in Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you speak the name of Jesus Christ consistently in this culture, you will have people who don't like you. You will be misunderstood. And you will even have people who speak against you. Jesus said your reaction to that, because that's tough. That's tough when people speak falsely against you. Your reaction is you just want to, wait a minute, you want to defend yourself. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said this is what we're supposed to do. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God will reward you for that. Now, let me give you another. He said, insult you and all that. Look at Luke 6, what Jesus said. Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Now, I don't know about you, you know, but when I go on a college campus and I start speaking the name of Jesus in this day and time, there is a reaction, and it is not always positive. And I don't know how your Christmas and Thanksgiving went, but we've had some interesting ones in our lifetime, haven't we, Becky? We've had little eruptions happen because, you know, we said one thing too many about Jesus. But you know what? If that's you and you feel bad because people misunderstand you, Jesus literally said to leap for joy when you get misunderstood because you love Jesus Christ. But you know what? We think that, of course, God rewards people for big stuff like that. But the crux of my message tonight is this. Sometimes we tend to forget that God rewards us for the tiniest little thing we do for Him. God rewards us for the tiniest little thing we do for Him. You know what? I'm just going to give you a few of those as we start tonight. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that God rewards us for a faithful prayer life. God rewards us for a faithful prayer life. Matthew 6, 5 and 6, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. He's talking about people who only pray with the motive of being seen. But he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God rewards you for every prayer you pray. Every little prayer you pray, God rewards you. How many of you know that prayer doesn't seem like a big thing? Or we don't think of it as a big thing, but Jesus said the Father will reward you every time you go in and shut the door and start praying to Him. God rewards you for giving. God rewards you for giving. Cornelius prayed and Cornelius gave, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that God sent an angel to him and said, your prayers and your giving have come up before God. God sees every little thing. Remember the widow who only put in two copper coins, two little pennies, and Jesus saw her. Jesus took note of her, and Jesus put her in the Bible for all eternity. He said, this widow gave more than anybody else. And the rich people are like, she only gave two pennies. God saw it. God see. I'm convinced every cent, because you work hard to earn your money, don't you? It's your life you're putting in there. And when an offering is taken up and you put money in it, God sees it and God rewards it. Every time. Maybe you just walked by and put a buck in the Salvation Army kettle this season. God saw it. God, He doesn't just say, well, that wasn't $200. That didn't count. God sees everything. Every little teeny thing you do for Him, He sees it, and He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. One thing, though, you have to forget instant gratification, because that's not the way it works with God. It's not always an instant reward with God. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus said that if you want a reward on earth, and He said the same thing about praying, if you want an instant, quick reward on earth, you can just have it if you want to, but it'll be fleeting. And He says here, in fact, in this particular case, He says, moths and vermin can come in and take it away from you. But Jesus said this, when you give, you are literally laying up treasures in heaven. Do you think God uses the word treasures by accident? No. You are, every single penny you put in an offering, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Literal treasures in heaven that can never be taken away, which can never be eaten by moth or vermin. God, when you give and when you pray, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus said something very interesting. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Luke chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, He was specifically saying that, you know, sometimes people give these big showy banquets, but they only invite people who they know are going to pay them back. And Jesus said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to give to people who cannot pay you back. And then you know what He said? He said, you'll be repaid. In Luke 14, 14, Jesus said, you will be repaid at the resurrection. God sees it all. That's what I'm talking about by putting a buck in the Salvation Army kettle. God sees that. You're giving to the poor. You're giving to the poor, and you will receive treasures in heaven. God will pay you back at the resurrection, even though it's not instant gratification. God's not going to miss a thing. Of course, we know He rewards martyrs and He rewards missionaries. He may reward people who, in our eyes, big TV preachers who have done all these big things that we can see. But I'm telling you here tonight, God will not miss a single thing done by even the least of His saints. Look at Ephesians 6:8. Ephesians 6:8. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. He was specific. I mean, the people he was talking to were really slaves. I mean, it wasn't a figure of speech. Some of those people were slaves. I'm sure their life was not great, but they were serving God. And God said, I see everything you do. In Colossians, and this is not going to come up on the screen, it just came to my heart. In Colossians, God says, if you just get up and go to work and you work for Him, that you will be rewarded for that. God sees it all. And He says that He will reward each of you. Are you looking forward to your reward? You know what? Listen to me. It's okay to look forward to your reward. It's okay to look forward to it. Look at Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. I look at this church. I look at the faithfulness of all the people. So many times, Becky and I, there's even been times when I'm preaching at another church and we have to go right past this one on the way to the one I'm preaching at. We don't want to go. We want to pull in here. We look at this church, especially, I've been preaching on a Wednesday night somewhere and had to go right past. This church is so warm and inviting and so beautiful at nighttime when you're looking inside. We just want to come in here. But you know what I see when I come in here? So much faithfulness. So many brothers and sisters that I've loved, and some of you I've known for, wow, like 25, 30 years. So faithful. I would start naming, but I can't do that because I would miss people. I don't want to do that. But so many people serve God so faithfully. I'm wanting to start talking about it, but I cannot get into the specifics because I miss somebody. But so much faithfulness here. So many people serving and working with the children and doing all the jobs. So much faithfulness. So many little things that make it all work. God will not forget, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:10. He will not forget the love you have shown Him. He will not forget it. You will be rewarded for every little thing. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. This is how even the smallest of things God sees. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. Jesus said, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. I'm going to stop there for a moment. I believe he's talking about, particularly if you read 3 John, he's talking about as God's servants were going about and they needed support, they needed God's people to help them, people would take them in. You can stay at my house. I'll feed you. You can stay here while you're in this town. And so if a prophet came to town and you took that prophet in and you just gave the prophet a bed and you gave the prophet 4 or 5 meals while he was in town, God sees it and He will reward you, Jesus said. Even down to the tiniest detail. Look at verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. How much does a cup of cool water cost? Well, it costs a little more in Bible days than it is today because you actually would have to go to a well and draw it up and do a little work for it, but wasn't an extravagant thing. And Jesus said, if you give so much as a cool cup of water to one, and He didn't even say to the greatest of His servants, He said, if you give so much as just a cool cup of water to the very least of my disciples, you will be rewarded for it. Look forward to that reward. I encourage you tonight, look forward to that reward. And I don't have time to read a lot of scriptures in Hebrews 11, but I'm convinced if you read Hebrews 11 about all these amazing, great people of faith who made it into this faith hall of fame that God goes over in Hebrews 11, you read it over and over and over and over and over again. All of them were looking forward to their reward. Man, they could taste it. They could see it. They knew something so incredibly wonderful is coming, and it's worth everything I'm giving up on earth to serve God. And you read Hebrews 11, some of them gave up a lot. But I'm just going to read one in particular, Moses, verse 26, Hebrews 11, 26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses could have had the best of the best of the best of life on planet Earth. He could have just been considered Pharaoh's son all the way to the end and just had nothing but luxury and wonderful stuff. But you know what? Moses said, no, I've got that whoop-dee-doo. I don't want the treasures of Egypt. There's something better I want. And it says here that in faith he could see Christ. And he knew that Jesus was of greater value than all that. And it says he gave up that. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of evil, treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Are you looking ahead to your reward? Do you think about it? Do you just let your mind ponder it? Do you just think about what it will be like when we take our last breath on earth and the first breath in heaven? The wonder, the glory of God, but more than anything, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. The Bible says Moses did everything he did looking forward to his reward. I pray tonight you're looking forward to your reward. Now, I'm not going to take time to read the whole parable. It's quite a lengthy parable. I'm sure you've heard of it. Generally, people call it the parable of the talents. It's found in Matthew 25. The parable of the talents. The NIV actually says bags of gold, and I actually prefer that because I think somehow we hear the word talents and we think that's all it's talking about, when talent was just a unit of money back then. But you know the parable, the Bible says it was a rich man and he was going to entrust a manager with his wealth. And so he called in three managers and he gave the first one five bags of gold. And he said, here, I'm entrusting these five bags of gold with you. I'm going on a long journey. And another one he gave two bags of gold. And another one he only gave one. And the man with the five bags of gold, the Bible says he went out and he was wise and he was a good steward and he did something with what he had. He was faithful with what he had. He was faithful with those, and he earned double. He doubled it. Now, I don't know a whole lot about investing, but a double is a good return on your investment. And the man doubled the five bags of gold. But you know, another guy only had two. And you may think, matter of fact, Jesus said, each according to his ability. And you know, the guy with two could have thought, wow, he got five. Look at that. What a cushy life he got. He got a lot better assignment than I got. He only gave me two, and he gave him five. But that's not the attitude the man had. Each according to his ability. He had two, and he said, these two are what God gave me, and I'm going to do something with it, amen. And the Bible says he went and he invested it and he doubled it. He was faithful and he doubled that. And then the guy with only one, the Bible says he was just afraid. Oh, well, what do I do with this? So he just dug a hole in the ground and stuck it in the ground. Boy, I could preach there a while, but I don't have time to get into it. But I do think there are a lot of people who take their faith for granted. I'll say that much. You know what they do with it? You know what they do with the mysteries of God? What they do with the message of forgiveness, the message of God's love, the amazing message of redemption, the epic message of God's redemption? They just bury it in the ground. They just bury it in the ground. They never do anything with it. But like I said, I want to encourage you tonight, so I'm not going to get into that too much. But that's what the guy with one bag of gold did. He just buried it in the ground because he was afraid. The Bible says he was afraid. And then the Bible says that master came back and he settled his accounts with them. The man with five came back and said, look, I've got 10 now. And you know what his master said to him? Do you know those words? Do you know those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the same with the guy with two. Verse 23 of Matthew 25. Well done. Well, let me just go ahead and stop and read it. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. God wants you to share his happiness for eternity. I really have to point out, note, he did not say, well done, good and spectacular servant, did he? He didn't say, well done, good and remarkable servant. He didn't say, well done, good and super talented servant. He didn't say, well done, rich and famous servant. And I think that's where a lot of us think, yeah, man, people do all that big stuff for God. They're really, wow, they'll have big rewards in heaven. That's not what he said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. As we come into a new year, I was just thinking, make it your goal this year just to be faithful over the little that God gives you. Be faithful in little. He'll make you ruler over much. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to close with this thought tonight. I've been a Christian now 38 years or so. Maybe more, it keeps changing, days are passing. But a really long time, a really long time. Started out as a little skinny guy, 18 years old at a church here in Burleson, got saved. Started teaching Sunday school pretty quick after that. Just been serving God as best I can ever since. You know what? I got to say from the very, 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 very beginning, that phrase, well done, good and faithful servant, is what gets me up every morning. I just want to please Him. I just want to get it right. I want to receive praise from God. The older I get, the less sure I am of that. And I guess what I mean is at first I just thought, well, of course that's what He'll say to me. But now I really have to think about, yeah, but God sees all my motives through all the years. He has the whole equation. And I guess I've just kind of gotten knocked down off of my pride trip. But you know what? The truth is that's all I live for. To hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want us to close tonight just imagining that actual moment when you receive your praise from God. The Apostle Paul knew that moment was coming very specifically in his life. And we read about it in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Paul knew. He literally knew his time had come. He literally knew that he was soon to receive his rewards from God, receive his praise from God. And this is what he said as he looked forward to that moment. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have longed for His appearing. The Apostle Paul, he was still alive. He was still alive and kicking. He was still breathing air on earth in a side of a prison cell, knowing that he was under a death sentence, but he was still on planet earth, but he already knew what was coming. He said, you know what? Oh, you know what's going to happen very soon? And he was writing Timothy, and he wrote it down for all the rest of us. He said, there is a crown in store for me. There's a crown in store for me. Now, to me, this is the kicker. This is the kicker. It's not just I'm going to get a crown. It's who's going to give me the crown. He says, there is a crown in store for me, which will be awarded to me on that day by the Lord. Can you imagine the moment when Jesus sets a crown of reward on your head? And I didn't take time to get into it tonight, but throughout the New Testament, the crowns are described. The moment when the Master, the King of everything, is standing there and you fall on your knees and he puts a crown on your head and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Woo! That's the moment we live for. That's the moment when it's all going to be worth it. When Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sets that crown on our head. Of course, we could all think, well, of course he gave Paul a crown. But Paul makes sure that we understand, and not only to me, he says, but also all who have longed for his appearing. You know, I think maybe we don't spend a lot of time thinking about this because it seems kind of maybe selfish or something. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I don't want to just sit around all the time thinking about the crown I'm going to get. Seems kind of selfish, you know. But you know what? Have you ever shown up for something where you were supposed to bring a gift and you didn't? Oops. Oh, I didn't know. Ah, you got me gifts and you didn't bring anything? You know, I think about Revelation. What are they always doing with those crowns? They cast them at Jesus' feet. He sets a crown on our head, and all we do is throw it back at his feet because he is worthy. I don't want to show up for the big party and not have a crown to throw back at his feet. And so every day that we get up, and every day as we live through the rest of this year, and as we live through 2018, it's not the big stuff. It's being faithful over the little stuff every day. And God's going to reward you for that. Don't forget that. Keep it in your heart and let it encourage you all year long. God bless you guys. Pastor Mark, turn it over to you.